Today's share in Mishneh Berurah Yomi is Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of a very important discussion in Hilchos Tefillin Siman Chav Zayin that deals with the proper placement of the tefillin on the arm, which was yesterday's share. Today we begin in the middle of the Ramah at the very top of the page, who says, Gidem, a person who is missing his arm, Rachmana Litzlan, She'ein lo yad, he doesn't have a hand, Rak Zroa, but he has an arm, an upper part of the arm, Yaniach below bracha, should put the tefillin on without making a bracha on them. And this is based upon a Tosos in Perek HaKomets, where it writes that a Gidem is chayev, however the Or Zeruah says that he's potter, so therefore we put it on without putting on a bracha, without making a bracha. The Mishneh Berurah in Sivkaton Hay explains this in more detail and writes, Rotzel Omar, what the Ramah means to say is, Shenital pisas yad smolo, his left hand has been unfortunately removed, im kol hakana, with all of the forearm, ad hakubado, the elbow, nikra elen bogin, that's the kobdo, but the biceps are fully remaining. In that situation, you put it on the upper arm, and you don't make a bracha. However, avolim nishar kitsas mehakana, if some of the forearm is still there, gamha or zaruah modi lehatosvos, dechayeh betvillin, vivarach gam kain. If you have any of the forearm remaining below the elbow, then everyone agrees, even the or zaruah, that a person has to put on the tefillin and put him on with a bracha. And he says, kain motzosi bi or zaruah. He said, I saw the or zaruah specifically state this myself, because nowadays the Mishneh Berurah says in his time, zochinu mikarov lioro, we've seen that this book came to print, whereas many of the other mefarshim who talked about this only had a representation of what the Or Zeruah said. They didn't see the Or Zeruah inside, and sometimes those representations of what the Or Zeruah said were not accurate, and therefore there's a lot of discussion about this, but the Mishneh Berurah says this is the definitive opinion of the Or Zeruah. If any of the forearm is there, then it's chayiv to have the tefillin put on in the proper place on the biceps with the bracha, even according to the Or Zeruah. In Sivkaton Vav, the Mishneh Berurah, this tells you to look in the Bir Halacha, where he has a more detailed discussion about this, and he writes that this opinion, not make a bracha, but to put them on, is not like the Prima Gadim understood this. He understood the Or Zeruah to say that you're potter, you don't even put it on. However, he points out that the Or Zeruah was not available to the Prima Gadim. Lo nidfas biyomav, it wasn't printed in his day. Therefore, in the Bir Halacha, he continues and he writes, you should put it on the left hand and the biceps. And Tosa says, even if you only have the biceps left, your entire forearm is missing, a person should still put on the tefillin according to the Tosfos. And while he did bring down the opinion of the Ramah that you shouldn't make a bracha, he brings down in the next Bir Halacha that the Bach, the El Yeraba, the Gro, and others also say that you should make it with a bracha because you do have the biceps there and that is the proper placement for the tefillin. Certainly he concludes that if you have any part of the forearm there, you certainly can make a bracha like this shita that we just described. And Pashat, the Yochel Lismoch was El Shita Sagro, the Koshiesh Adayim Mikzas Menachiboris, as long as you even have some of the biceps, it's Koshi L'Tefillin. However, in that situation, don't make a bracha. He suggests make two brachas when you put on the Shel Rosh, which is according to the Minhag of the Ramah and the Beis Yosef that we previously brought down. And this way you're definitely okay. Hashem should be merachim that this doesn't come up as a halacha l'maisa shayla on a frequent basis. Sif Beis, the Mechaber writes, Haminog hanochon shiyehe hayud shel kesher tfilo shel yad litzad halev. The proper practice and custom is to make sure that the yud, the knot on the tfilin shel yad, is facing towards the heart. A lefty puts on the tfilo of the yad, and the kesher and the yud are facing inwards towards his heart. Vatzfilo olav, and the bias, the cube part of the tefillin, is on top of it, so to say, litzad chutz, towards the external side. Since it's slightly tilted inward and down towards the heart, so it looks a little bit like the knot is down and the box is upwards. And this is indeed how the Mishneh Berurah in Sivkaton Tes explains it. Ein rotzel lomar shitiyat tefila munachas al hayud. You don't say for a second that the box is lying on top of the yud. Devade bo'inon shitei hayud eitzel hatfila b'shove v'lo mitachtel. They really are side by side. However, since rotzel lomar delfishu mata hatfilin letzad aguf, kemo shekosef sifalef, as we learned, you tilt it towards a little bit towards the heart, towards the inner part of the body. Therefore, nikra yud shel tzad haguf lemata. So we view it in some sort of a sense that the yud is down and the tefila, the box itself, the cube of the tefila, is considered up letzad Mala. Mishneh Berurah in Sivkaton Zayin brings down the Gra, who says that this is the din from the Gemara according to the Gaonim. And in Sivkaton Ches, the Mishneh Berurah writes to look in the Bir Halacha, where he writes there, Shenochon Lizar Shol Yarchiv Harbe Eskefel Kesho Haniva Sharitsua Overizba. Be careful not to make the loop for which you put the Ritsua, the strap of the Tefillah Shoyat, through it, not too large. So when you tighten it, when you actually tighten the knot and the loop over there is against the tefillah, it should be as close to the tefillah as possible. It shouldn't be a big loop. It should be far away. In the Bir Halachiyot, it certainly shouldn't be looped around to the bottom part, but it should be adjacent to the box. The Mechaber then continues and writes, Yesh li zoher shlo sozuz yud shel hakesha mehatfila. One should be very careful that the yud, which is a part of the knot, should be always touching to the bias itself, to the actual tefillah itself. In Sivkot Yud, the Mishnah Berurah writes, this is based upon a Zohar from Parshas Pinchas, where it's very machmir that the Yud should always be attached to the bias itself. V'yesh machmirin, he brings down the opinion, you should be very careful that even the Gam Kishen B'Soch Kitzon, even when it's put away, you're not wearing it, Tzrich Nizor B'Zeh Shlotozus Klal HaYud, one should be careful that the Yud is touching and adjacent to the bias itself. Therefore, mitam zeh yesh noagin likshor hayud im chut shel gid im atfilah. Some have the custom to tie some sort of a ligament, of a string over here to the knot, to the yud, to make sure that it's constantly wrapped around, attached to the bias. However, the Mishnah Berurah says v'roy lebatol zeh, he doesn't like this custom because of a chatzitza concern. Because by having this extraneous material present, and you're going to wrap it around the titura, which is the part of the tefillin that is at the other end, opposite the ma'avarta, which is the part where the strap runs through the tefillin, and if you have some sort of an extraneous git over here, it will be a separation between that and your body, and that would be a chatzitza that would not be allowed. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah does not like this custom. Brings down the Levushe Srod, who writes, Deroy Levatel Gam Kein Haminok Shekorchem Haritsua Bimkom Akiboris Tachasiti Torah. Likewise, when you have the strap itself, the Ritsua itself, going underneath the biceps, underneath the box of the tefillin, the titura, the heavy gam ken chatzitza, that's also a chatzitza. Others disagree with this, but the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah certainly seems to not want you to use any extraneous material, any gid, to keep the yud of the kesher close to the tefillah itself. Shu note 9 brings down the opinion of the Chazon Ish, who also was not comfortable having any sort of a gid attach the yud, the kesher, to the bias. Ubitfilin shelo hayatachuv or b'mavarta. He would put some sort of a piece of leather or an or inside the mavarta in order that the ritzua couldn't move back and forth. Kidei lahadek as a kesher shelo yozus, to make sure that it wasn't able to slip and move out. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman, in fact, did have such a gid, and many other holy individuals recommend and advocate the usage of such a gid to make sure that the kesher, the yud, is always tightly up against the box, even when it's not on your arm, and certainly when it is on your arm. Indeed, some suggest that it's not even essential that the kesher should be against the entire bias if it's just fully touching the titura, the bottom part of the tefillah, so then that's acceptable as well. However, ideally, certainly, there shouldn't be any space or any separation between the kesher and the tefillah. Ideally, one shouldn't use something there, if you want to be yotzi all of the opinions, if it can be tightened in and put in such a way that that won't get loose and move from its place, that is certainly yotzi according to all opinions. In Sivkot Yud Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah adds that there's a custom which is found in all the batim that we make, the yachtoch batitura, in the base, you make some sort of a groove, milamal, on the top part, and that's where the kesher fits into, the yahade kayud im habayis, and this way it doesn't move at all. At least the bottom part. The top part, again, is where you'd be talking about the gidin to make sure that the entire part is attached to the bias as much as possible. Dear Shu note 10, he brings down the opinion of the Stipler Gaon, Zatzal, She'ein kavon asosheti hayud no gas b'ktsitsa. You don't need the yud to actually touch the bias, the ktsitsa itself. Elosh ayidei she'yachtoch batitura, by making this groove in the titura, in the base of the tefillin, the yud will be smucho l'ktsitsa, and that's good enough. As long as it's connected on the bottom by the titura, if there's any sort of a space by the bias, aspik shenogea batitura. As long as the titura and the kesher are together, that at least is the minimal amount that is necessary. Now we'll go back to Sivkot and Vav in the Mishnah Berurah, going back to talking about the Gidim. And the Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, Vim ein lo yad smol klal, if somebody, Rachmona Litzlan, doesn't have a left hand at all, even if he does have a little bit of the left upper arm left, but none of the biceps are there, Mekom Akiboris Ein Lo Klal, such a person is Potur Milyaniach HaShel Yad Af Biyomin. Such a person has no obligation to put on tefillin at all, not even on the other hand. Tirshu No. 5 points out that he still is considered a Mechoyev in tefillin, so he could technically still write a pair of tefillin with his other hand, but he has no obligation to wear tefillin himself because Onus Rachmona Patra, he physically can't. However, the Mishnah Berurah then brings down the opinion of the Tshuvas Shvus Yaakov, the Arutzus HaChayim, who say, Yesh Machmirim Bezeh, and certainly you should put it on, even if you're not going to make it with a bracha. Of course, you put it on the right hand, because unfortunately the person doesn't have a left hand to put it on. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, V'chol zeh shenasa gidim b'smol, whom the makom hanochas tefillin. This is all talking about when the person is missing his left hand, which is the proper place for most people to put on their tefillin. However, if somebody is missing their right hand, imnasa gidim biyomin, so afilu nikta lo kol ayad, even if the person has no right hand whatsoever, nevertheless, such a person is chayiv to put on tefillin, v'yivakish lacheirim shenichu olav, and somebody should assist him in putting on the tefillin. Obviously, he can't put it on himself, but he has an obligation to wear tefillin because he has his weaker hand, and therefore there is still a chayiv to put tefillin on the weaker hand. Dirshu Note 6 clarifies this in the name of the Tzitz Eliezer and says the kavan of the Mishnah Berurah over here is to make a distinction between somebody whose left hand is missing and their right versus their right hand being missing. Shemishinik to yodo asmolis, if somebody's left hand is entirely gone, so then the poskim have the machlokis imchayib betfilin at all, like we just brought down the yesh machmirim that say you should put it on the right hand. However, masha ein kain, mishinik to yodo hayimonis, if somebody's stronger hand is missing, his right hand is missing, everybody agrees, chayav bihanochas tfilin lecholadeos, on the left hand, and obviously he'll need somebody to help him put it on. Rav Yashiv explains this, and he writes, Rak mi sheyesh lo shtei yodayim, v'yodo hasmolis, kolcha yofe yoser, hu nikra iter. Somebody who has two hands, and he happens to be a lefty, so his left hand is stronger than his right hand, so then he's called a iter yad. Avol mi sheyesh lo rak yad achas, eno iter. But somebody who only has a left hand, he doesn't have a right hand, that's not called an iter yad. And the yoniach hayodo hakayamis, and he puts on the tefillin on the hand that he has. Who is allowed to help this person put on those tefillin? Can a woman? So in Dirshu Note 7, he brings down, Ula inyan isha shiptura mi mitzvah tefillin. A woman is obviously not obligated in tefillin, which of course we'll learn inside as we go through these simonim. So is she allowed to tie this? So he brings down, Yahagos by monios, shirapenu tam osar. Rabbeinu Tam said, no, a woman can't do this. Why? There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says that a woman assisted, so it meant that she only assisted, she didn't actually put it on. Likshar osur law. He brings down further, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal writes, Shachroaz Gedolei Achronim Sheyecholu Likshor Tefillin Lebailu, that a woman is permitted to go and help her husband because it's really an assisting over there and not the final full tightening. And then the Shevet Halevi Zatzal writes, L'chatchilo Isha Lo Tikshor Es Tefillin, she certainly shouldn't do this unless there's absolutely no choice. Miyav Shai De'acher Tikshor Isha, then the woman is allowed to do this. And this is likewise the opinion of Rav Yashiv Zatzal. He says, L'gabik Shira Aydei Nochri, whether a Gentile would be allowed to do this as well. It would be preferable for somebody else to do this. If there's no alternative, there is no alternative. Siv Gimel. Haminog hanochon l'takin shamavarta shabo haritzua. The proper minig is that the mavarta, which is the part of the tefillah that has the ritzua running through it, inside, through the tefillah itself, overest, that's where the ritzua goes through, that part, shteimunachas l'tzad hakosif, that should be the higher part on the arm. That should be what we would say the more proximal part of the tefillin, and that part, this is the ketzitza, which is the opposite side, which doesn't have the ritzua running through it, that would be litzad hayad, that would be towards the bottom part of the arm, that which we would say would be distally arm. The Mishnah Berurah brings down, to go look in the bir halacha over here, what should a person do? He is a lefty, and he doesn't have his tefillin with him, and he only has right-handed people whose tefillin are available. How should he put on a righty's tefillin on his right hand? And he basically brings down two opinions that suggest that he flip it upside down so that the mavarta, which is normally on the top, should be towards the distal bottom part of the hand. This way, the knot, the kesher, will be towards the inside of the body facing towards the heart. That is the opinion of the Shus Yaakov and the Arutzus HaChayim. He then brings down, however, the Chayyadim who doesn't like this and says you really should take out the Ritzua and put it in the other direction, that the Yud should be Samuch Lelev in this situation. However, the Mishnah concludes that doing like the Shus Yaakov is the more correct way, because this is the basic din in the Gemara, and the other is just the minhag. Again, I apologize, this is somewhat complicated to explain in just an oral discussion without a show and tell, but hopefully it is clear enough. Siv Dalet, the Mechaber writes, Lo yehe dovor chotzeis bein tefillin lebesoro. A person should be very careful not to have any sort of a chatzitza, any sort of an interposition between the tefillah itself and his flesh. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Yud Gimel explains this is based upon the direct interpretation of the Psukim, Dichsiv al Yodecha, should be directly on your hand. Or with Tefillin Sharosh, it says Ksiv Bein Einecha, literally on your head, between the eyes. It doesn't mean, of course, in between the eyes. That's the way the Karoyim understood this, but it means in the same location, higher up on your forehead. We'll learn the placement of the proper placement of the Tefillin Sharosh in an upcoming shir. Very important halacha. In Sivkot Yudal, he writes, any chatzitza, afilu chatzitza kaldu, is a chatzitza, anything. Therefore, nochon lizor lechatchila, afilu bekino chaya. One should be careful not to even have a live insect over there, that it would be a separation between your flesh and the tvila, and certainly a dead insect and dirt as well. And therefore, alkein yesh noagin lirchotz mokom anochas atvilin. There are people that wash the area of the biceps where you put on the tvilin in order to make sure there's no interposition. And he concludes by bringing the sefer Rivid Azov, if the tefillin straps themselves, somehow get between the box and your arm, that would not count as a chatzitza. Min bemino eino chotetz. It's the same material, and it's not considered a chatzitza. Nevertheless, we quoted the Lusha Yisroad before, and the Mishnah Berurah writes, nochon lechatchilu lahachmir brozeh. That concludes today's shir.